Psalm 100, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this time of year that we have, of reminding us of Thanksgiving. We thank you for the time that we can have with family, and we just pray you would help us, Lord, that we would enter into it with a good perspective, Lord, the perspective you give from your scriptures, Lord, that we might truly be blessed and that we might be a blessing to others, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, it was interesting. I was researching a bit about the history of Thanksgiving in Canada, and sometimes we tend to think, well, we just sort of kind of took it all the ideas from the U.S. and just kind of put it ahead a little bit to kind of make it our own. But when you actually research it, you find that we had our own Thanksgiving traditions that were around even before much of what happened down in what would we call New England in that area. That we actually find that there is the first day of Thanksgiving that was done on Canadian soil was in 1576. And that was Martin Frobisher was on an expedition to find the Northwest Passage, and they'd had some trouble, but then they were able to stop at a place and get some rest, and they were refreshed, and they thanked the Lord for their safety up to that point. And the French settlers that came with Samuel Champlain, that they had different days of Thanksgiving in the early 1600s. And we actually find the first place that did it on a regular basis was Halifax, that they began in 1799. And it was first officially celebrated as a civic holiday in Canada in 1872. It was observed every year after 1879. And then after World War I, it was celebrated together with Armistice Day. That it was the same day, but then they started to divide those 2 days and made Remembrance Day on November 11th. And then they established, it wasn't until actually 1957 that it became what we know today of being the second Monday of each of the month of October. And so it's not something with the Canadian history of it, I think, that we can recognize, well, there is one single event or one single individual that started it off. There's a lot that kind of came and brought it together. But I think as a nation we can be grateful for those from long ago who made it part of our calendar, made it part of our daily lives, of our yearly routine. We recognize, of course, that just because we have one day of the year set aside for Thanksgiving, that doesn't mean that we get to set aside the other 364 for complaining, that that's not the idea of it. But I think we recognize the value of it, that we are to be a thankful people all year round, but having one specific day kind of helps us regain that perspective. In some ways, we could say, well, maybe we should have a couple more somewhere in the calendar for us, because it's something we tend to forget. But as we gather together this Thanksgiving with friends, with family, I think all of us want it to be a blessed time, a time that we look back with fond memories. That, and usually our thought of that was how are we going to make that happen? And our thought is usually based on what happens, that we try to do so much in preparation so it'll just be the perfect Thanksgiving. And then, of course, life just happens, that things happen, and it doesn't always go the way that we should, or sometimes things aren't going good, but then we find that it turns out to be really good in the end. And I think that's what we find so often, that with things we can try to make it happen the way we want, but there's so much in our lives that are out of control. And so if we want it to be a blessed time, I think we want to see that the difference between it being a blessed time and a not so blessed time hinges a lot on our attitude and our perspective as we go into it. And so I want to be a help to you that with this, kind of give you kind of a scriptural perspective, what might be a fresh perspective. Kind of give you some food for thought that while you're chewing on the turkey and the stuffing, that it kind of makes you think of these other things too. And first of all, I think we agree it's important that we remember that in Thanksgiving, that's the idea of giving thanks, and if we're going to do it, that we give thanks to someone. It's just the same that when you celebrate something that you can say hooray or that's great, but when you say thank you, that it's always directed at a person. And that's the thing that we understand, that in giving thanks, we direct it to a person. That person is God Himself. That we see that in verse 4 of this passage where it says, be thankful unto Him and bless His name. That we're to give thanks unto the Lord for all that He has done, for who He is. Ephesians 5 and verse 20, it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we give thanks unto Him. We recognize that everything that we have in this world is a gift from Him. James chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And so our thanksgiving to God should come naturally when we take stock of all that He has done, all that He is for us, that it's our right and proper response. We realize the idea that in giving of thanks, that it's not something that we can ever repay Him for all the good that He has done for us. That's just not possible to do. But at least it's a gift that we can return to Him, something that we can honor God with. Because we realize when you say thank you to someone, you show not only your appreciation for what has been given unto you, but also the appreciation for the one that has given that thing to you. That's why we do it. That's why we try to teach our children from when they're young to say thank you. That it's something that we want them to be a natural part of their life. And as adults, we want to realize too that that should be a natural part of our life. And we recognize, I don't think we would say that God demands of us that we're thankful, not in the sense that if we're not thankful that He's going to take away all the good stuff to us, because He sends rain on the just and the unjust, on people that even don't even acknowledge He exists. But we see from the scriptures that it is something that He commands of us. And we can think of that in two senses. One, we see it in the scriptures that He says you should do this, that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, that this is something that is right and proper for us. But you can think it also the idea that He commands it by who He is and everything He's done. That I remember working for different guys, different companies doing carpentry work, and I remember this one fellow that he said, "Well, I demand respect. I demand that the people respect me, that the workers show the proper honor to me as the boss." But the thing is, the way that he acted, it was a lot of times very hard for people to respect him. That he demanded it, but he hadn't earned it. But yet I saw other guys that they didn't really care what you thought of them. They were the boss, and they knew it, and they were assured themselves. They had a kind of a security in that they weren't worried about that. But it was just the way that they acted, the way that they treated people, the way that they led, that they knew what they were doing and they knew how to get the job done, that they commanded that respect just by the way that they act. And that's the way the Lord is with us, that He commands it just for who He is, that it's just as we see Him as He is, we recognize what He has done, that it should flow from us naturally. It's something that He should rightfully expect from us. But I think we see as well that with thanksgiving, as with anything that the Lord calls upon us to do, that it's as much for our benefit as it is for His. That if we fail to give thanksgiving to God, we're failing to give God His due, but I think we recognize that we're the worse for it if we don't. It's actually interesting to note, Romans chapter 1, there's quite a kind of list that it kind of gives a kind of a description of the descent of men who one time kind of had some light from the Lord but turned away from it and just turned into darkness and depravity. It's interesting just to note, kind of as he describes kind of the beginning of that turn. It says in Romans 1 verse 21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, their foolish heart was darkened. That a lot of times we realize that a lack of thankfulness can start to lead us away. It's something important. If we have that, it helps keep us to have the right perspective. And it's actually kind of a thought that sometimes it can be sort of like a gauge for us, kind of an alarm. We have that on our cars, that if things get to a certain level, a red light comes on and tells us that this something needs to be addressed. And that's something that we can look at as our thankfulness, that when that really starts to wane, it starts to get down, there's something that's amiss. There needs to be a change in our thinking. We kind of need to reboot the system. Sometimes we recognize that can come because our vision is too narrowly focused, that there's so many things God has given us and blessed us with, but we're focused on one thing that we don't think that we can be thankful for. And the Lord says, Ephesians 5 verse 20, that we're going to give thanks always for all things, in everything and for everything. Sometimes we need a longer perspective, that something may be difficult situation, something that has happened, but we want to realize from the scriptures that all things work together for good, that it might be for our good in the end, even if we don't understand it now. And so there's always something to be thankful for. I recall a story of a pastor one time that he was, this was many years ago, but he was on his journey. I believe it was in England is where the story is told, or I can't remember exactly, but he was on his way to a place, and what happened, he was accosted by thieves and they robbed him. And you just think that would just be totally ruin your day and everything else, but yet it was something that he realized that there's things to be thankful for. He was thankful that he took just his wallet and not his life. He was thankful that he didn't have that much to steal. And he was thankful that he was the one being robbed rather than being the one that was doing the robbing. And so there's things that we want to see that there's ways that we can be thankful. That says in First Thessalonians 5:18, rather, it's in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In Ephesians 5 verse 20 it says, giving thanks always for all things. And we realize that those don't leave room for very many exceptions. And there's so often so many places in Scripture where it says all or it says every, and we tend to think, well, that must mean kind of most, but there has to be exceptions. But we learn that by faith, that when God's Word says all, it means all. And so we want to learn to do that, to be thankful in all things and for all things. And when we learn to do that, we're truly blessed. We learn to appreciate the Lord, and it draws us closer to Him. And we see in this passage in Psalm 100 that we're to come before His presence with singing, we're entering into His courts with praise, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, that it's the thought that we, when we enter into His presence, whether it's in prayer, whether it's as a congregation, that we were doing it with thanksgiving just for the fact that really we have no right to be in His presence. It's only because of what the Lord has done. All of us are sinners, that it was always the fear in the Old Testament that if they came in the presence of God that they'd be killed. And really that's what we should expect because of our sin, but what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, that He shed His blood, He died for our sins, so that there, under the blood, that God's righteousness has been applied to our accounts, that now we can enter into His presence. And that we can come with boldness to the throne of grace. That's something alone that should cause us to be full of thanksgiving. And we recognize that our lives are so much fresher and more enjoyable when we're looking for things to be thankful for rather than things to complain about. It actually keeps us from so many other sins of discontentment, of greed, of lust, of covetousness, because we're appreciating what we've been given by God, and we're appreciating God and who He is, and when we do that, we have no need for anything else. That we find everything that we need in Him, that we are complete in Him, and that we are thankful for that. And the thought of giving thanks in everything and for all things, it challenges us, because one day a year, having Thanksgiving, that's something I think we can handle, is being thankful, but it's the rest of the year that can be the hard part, is keeping that in practice 365 days a year. And I want to give you just one more thought, kind of to focus upon, which I hope will help you both tomorrow for our Thanksgiving Day and throughout the rest of the year. And that's that in learning to give thanks unto God in all things and for all things, what should be our greatest source of thankfulness are not things at all. In our mind, we equate our satisfaction, our enjoyment of life, our thankfulness based on the abundance that we have. That we figure, well, if I have a lot of stuff, that then I'm going to be really thankful. If I don't have as much stuff, I'm not going to be able to be as thankful. But when we look at the scriptures don't bear that out. That we think of it, Thanksgiving always falls, or generally falls after harvest. Some years it doesn't, because just the way things have happened, it goes a little beyond, but that's kind of when they said it, it's supposed to, harvest is more or less supposed to be done. And when we have a good harvest, we recognize, well, that's, it's easy to be thankful there, but what happens if we have a bad year? Do we sign a petition to the government to say, well, cancel Thanksgiving for this year, it wasn't worth being thankful for? No, it's something that we have it every year. And we want to realize that it isn't about kind of what we have or how good or bad things might seem to be. That Thanksgiving is not something that should wax and wane with the ebb and flow of life. That it should be a discipline. It's something that we try to teach our kids to always say thank you. And it's something that we want to teach ourselves to always be saying thank you. And we want to realize that our thankfulness, our ability to give thanksgiving, is based on a very substantial foundation, which we can always go back to. And all the other blessings are just little things that build upon that very substantial foundation. It's kind of like this. I remember this one family back where I grew up. They had a teenage boy who was having his 16th birthday, and they celebrated it, and they got him some different gifts that they thought he would like. But then at the end of it, as the gifts were all gone, they could see that he was upset, and it didn't make any sense to him. I said, well, we know that this was stuff that he would like, stuff that he would appreciate, and we had a day kind of settled for him, and so I asked him, well, what's wrong? He said, well, I was expecting a car. And it was something that we think of that really that the perspective that he had really wasn't right. That his parents had given him so much of their life that there was so much for him to be thankful for. That all the stuff that they endured, from potty training all the way up to dealing with them through life of just all the different challenges of teenage years and everything else, working to provide for him, instructing him in the ways of life, investing their lives in him, that should have been kind of the foundation that he was always thankful for, and that really any kind of gift was just kind of icing on the cake. That and you think of it really, like, and I kind of thought, well, if he would have realized that maybe the reason why they couldn't afford to get him a car is because they're having to spend $1,000 a month on groceries just to keep food in the house to feed him, that maybe if he ate a little less, then they could have afforded to get him a car. But it's kind of the thing that he had a foundation that he just completely overlooked, of a whole lifetime of things to be thankful for, of what had been given unto him, of just the relationship that he had with his parents, that it was something to be thankful for. And he wasn't thankful because of one thing, but there was all these other things that he should have been thankful for. And so we realize that that's a wrong perspective that's in need of being righted. And if we find that in us, we realize that needs to be righted as well. That if all the things of our life, all the possessions we had, all the kind of what we call the good things in life are stripped away, what do we have to be thankful for? Do we have nothing to be thankful for? And I think we realize that that is not true at all, that we have much to be thankful for, and it's so much greater than things. First of all, we realize we have God Himself, that His goodness we think of, His mercy, His grace, the fact that the God of heaven and earth, the God who fills heaven and earth, who really that you can kind of compare the size of the universe and the size of us, and you try to give a correlation, it would be almost like us caring for a little speck of dust, and yet he does that he's concerned about us. He's so big, but yet he's not so big that he doesn't know what we're going through, that he's intimately acquainted with us, that he wants to have a relationship with each of us, and that he isn't someone that it's sort of he's got all these people to take care of, he only has just a certain amount of time, that he's big enough that he can give us all the time that we need, all the time we would ever want. We think of his faithfulness, that we can rely upon him, that we can trust in him, that we can look back with different troubles we've maybe had, difficulties in our lives where the Lord's come through, where he's blessed us, he's helped us. We think of his righteousness, of how we know that he is a just God, that that even when things happen in this earth that don't seem right, we can trust that he's going to deal with that all in the end. He's going to set everything right. And we think of his great love, the love that he would send his son to die for us, and that he would be willing to give of himself for us in that way. We think of his salvation, all it entails. As we talked about a couple of weeks ago, it is that unspeakable gift that we just, we can talk about it and speak about the greatness of it, and we never get to the end of it. That if we were given nothing else in the world, that we could spend eternity giving thanks for his salvation. And we actually see that in Revelation chapter 7, in verse 12, that we see in heaven this perspective. It says, or this is verse 11, the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And that's just the thought that's what we'll be spending eternity doing, is praising the Lord and blessing his name and giving thanksgiving unto him. That as we see we're in his presence, as we see things as they truly are, that our faith becomes sight, that just naturally is what's going to pour forth from our lips. And the more we see with the eyes of faith in this world, the more that will happen as well. That we're thankful for the Lord, thankful for what he has done. And then also I want to see that we want to be thankful and give thanks as well for the people that God has brought into our life. And it's a thought, why do we gather for Thanksgiving? Do we gather for the food? Is that the main purpose of it? No, the food is just kind of an excuse. Some you do while you gather together. That sure we enjoy it, but we come together to have time with one another. Time with family, time with friends, and just the blessing, the fact that we can have someone to spend Thanksgiving with is something that we rejoice in and we're thankful for. We see in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 1, it's interesting what it says. It says, 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. And in some ways, we see with that passage that it speaks of all men without exception. And we could say, well, yes, well, all men need prayers. All of us struggle. We need someone to lift us up in prayer. We need people interceding for us. But then it says, giving of thanks as well be made for all men, that we're to thank the Lord for all men, that it is, doesn't, we say, well, does all really mean all? There's got to be exceptions. There's a lot of people that we can think of, well, I don't think I can be thankful for that person. But we see that all means all, that that we want to recognize that. We think of in our family, we have different relations that come and we're always enjoyable, or we enjoy their coming and we're sorry to see them go, then pretty well all of us, I think, have someone in our family, kind of a crazy Uncle Ron, that we just sort of, oh no, he's going to come, and we're just worried about what's going to happen. And we recognize that that can be with anything, whether it's people that we know, whether it's our own family, whether it's our church family, whether it's other believers, that there's some that we could say, well, it's easy to be thankful for them. And others, they say, well, it's pretty hard to be thankful for them. But we actually see with Paul, because if he asks us to do this, he exhorts us to do this, you have to say, well, okay, does he do it himself? Like, it's going to be pretty hard, we want to see, because does he actually do that himself? And we see 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, that we recognize, when we understand the Thessalonians as a church, that he started the church there and got things going, but then they had great persecution. He actually had to leave, and he wasn't even sure like how the church was doing, but then he heard reports, he found out that they were still going strong, even though they were still being persecuted. And so it was something that it was blessed by that. And he says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, that he thanked the Lord for the Thessalonians, that they were doing good, that they were his glory and joy, it says in another place, because they were being faithful. But then you think of the different epistles that he wrote, that not all of them were always kind of the most upbeat ones. That we think, for instance, of the Corinthians, that it was a church where there was a lot of trouble, where they were fighting each other, and they actually sent some people over to Paul to tell him about how it was, and he was going to come over and try to sort things out, but he was writing a letter before, so you think, well, he's not going to be thankful for them. But we see 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 4, he says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. That we see that he's thankful for the ones that are doing good, and even the ones that you could say weren't doing good. And that's what we want to recognize, that there are people in our life that we think are doing good, that are being a blessing, that we're thankful to them, because they can be an encouragement to us. It's kind of like with Paul and with others, that they had ministered unto these people and they hoped that they're still going. They didn't want that their work to have been in vain, and to see that they're walking in truth, to see that they're continuing on, it brought encouragement to them. It helped Paul to keep going, because he knew, well, these ones are staying faithful. It was a blessing to him. But then we think of those not doing good, that we're to still be thankful. We recognize that they're an opportunity to minister to. They show us many times where we need to grow in Christ's likeness, how we need to be patient, how do we need to be long-suffering. That if the Lord didn't bring that person into our life, we'd never be challenged in that area. If we're never challenged, we're never going to grow. And sometimes we find that we have some person that rubs us the wrong way, and the reason that might be is maybe there's some that needs to be rubbed off, that the Lord's trying to turn us and change us into His image. He's trying to perfect us, make us more mature, because we realize He loves us with all imperfections, that we think of how it speaks, that how we're husbands to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water of the word, that he didn't die for the church when it was all perfect and beautiful and everything. He didn't die for us when we got our act together. That he died for us when we were sinners, when we had nothing to offer him, that we were just a mess. But he loved us, and by his love he transforms us and makes us into his image. And so that's the thing, that we see, that it's the Lord showing us a person, maybe frustrates us, but he's trying to teach us to love that person as He loves us, and by our love that we can bring transformation to that person's life too. And I remember that with my father-in-law, Pastor Prist, and Leah's dad, that it was, I've always respected him, but it was some I remember at his funeral that I knew that there was different people in the church that kind of sometimes gave him kind of trouble having to deal with them with different things, that they kind of say something that really offended someone else, and so he kind of have to kind of get him to apologize and sort of smooth things out. But I remember that kind of those ones that were, you would think would be kind of the troublemakers, that they loved, they expressed their love for him more than any other person, because they knew that they were trouble causers and things. They knew that they had a lot of warts and things, but the fact that he still loved them, that he was still patient with them, that he was still long-suffering for them, that made such a difference to them. It gave them kind of a strength to change, to not, that they would sometimes want to give up on themselves because it seemed everyone else did, but yet he did not. And so we want to learn to do that, to be thankful for people and realize what God's trying to accomplish in the bigger picture. Because we realize that if we're all alone in this world, that even if we had a house full of possessions, even if we had so many different things, that we'd still be pretty miserable. I remember reading a story about Howard Hughes, of how he was one of the richest men in the world, but he died and he was totally alone, and just how miserable that would have been. But the fact that we have relationships, we have a relationship with God, we have a relationship with other people, that's what makes life worthwhile. That's what makes life interesting. That we think of it, that even sometimes as parents, we all have different times with the kids growing up that they just, they kind of drive you off the deep end kind of thing, but you just kind of think, well, boy, there's sure there's the difficult times, but then there's also the good times that you wouldn't trade for anything. There's going to be good times and there's going to be bad times, but we want to learn to be thankful in all things and for everything, and even for all men, for all people that are around us. So may the Lord help us in this, that on this Thanksgiving and throughout the remainder of the year, that we would be a thankful people, that we would appreciate God, we would appreciate all He has given, but that we would realize that all the things that He has given are just kind of icing on the cake, that they're added blessings, but there is that great foundation that He has given of what we are to be thankful for. And we want to be thankful and appreciative of those that He's brought into our life, our siblings, our spouses, our parents, our children, our friends, our church family. That we learn to be thankful for God's honor and for our own blessing, so that in this time of year and throughout the rest of the year, that we can truly be a blessing to others. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for how you show to us things that are so important for us. We don't understand the necessity of them, Lord, but we realize that you tell us things for a reason. We just pray you'd help us to be a thankful people and appreciate you, appreciate one another, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to one more hymn, number 370. Number 370, Count Your Blessings.